It's understandable that they do feel trapped, because unless they can find some way to increase their skills, increase their level of education, do something so that they have more to offer an employer, it's very difficult for them to get ahead. The kinds of jobs that we're talking about are jobs that, for the most part, don't offer career ladders.
I need a waffle, cheese, no onion, no tomato, extra pickle, extra lettuce.
You can be working at a Burger King and working on the front line, and maybe the farthest you can go in that Burger King is being a manager, and even that's not a job that pays a lot of money. So for those of us with more education, more skills, we think in terms of a ladder, and we take the first step, and we take another step, and we feel like if we work hard, then we'll be able to climb that ladder. These are workers who can work as hard as they can. They can work multiple jobs, but the ladder's not there for them to climb. So if you're working in a hotel cleaning rooms, what's the next step? I think it's helpful for those of us who are fortunate enough to not feel these financial strains to think about what it's like to work if you have two parents in the family, two full-time jobs, or a single parent and a full-time job, and raising kids. It's hard even for those of us who have adequate resources just because of the demands, juggling a school day with a 9-to-5 job, those kinds of hours. How are you going to get off work to get the child to the dentist? How are you going to get off work to meet with your child's teacher? So if you think about how hard that is, imagine what starts to happen in a family where you have constant financial stress. So the person who has no paid sick time, when they're sick, what do? Do they go to work so they get paid? Or do they stay home and lose their pay? What if they have a sick child? Do they stay home with that child, risk losing their job, risk losing that pay? Or do they leave that child at home sick? And we know that happens. So in a life that's already stressful, I've worked all day, I've come home, I've managed to get the kids, got them fed, now I'm supposed to help them with their homework, I don't even understand how to help them with their math homework anymore. Oh my gosh, how am I going to pay the rent tomorrow? Visa's calling and I'm overdue and I owe them hundreds of dollars in charges. That's where the problem comes, is when it starts to snowball and you compound one hardship on top of another.
You're listening to Barely Getting By, a documentary project from Humankind. I'm David Freudberg. For more information on the working poor, visit our website, humanmedia.org.
When I first there, they hired me as a scheduling coordinator.
This is Anne St. Juste, a U.S. citizen born in Haiti, living as a single mom in Boston. She's more than fully occupied raising her 5 children, ages 8 through 16, including twins. She almost buckled under the high rent, so recently she scraped together enough for a down payment and bought a triple-decker in Dorchester, where they live on the top floor. Her 2 tenants don't pay enough to cover the mortgage, but she sees it as a way to build wealth. She also wants to advance her education. Oh, and did I mention she averages $13 an hour working 2 jobs, a total of 56 hours a week? One is at a nursing home.
I work as scheduler for 2 years. And after that, I start working as a certified nursing assistant because I start taking my courses for the nursing program. Because at that time, I cannot do working as a scheduler. You have to work from 9 to 5.
Right.
And then I want to go to school in the morning. And if I realize if I work as a nursing assistant, I can go to school, you know, in the morning. That's when I did it. I work night, and then I go to school in the morning. And I get my associate degree from biological science and pre-health. My diploma is
You're pointing to your diploma on the wall.
Yes, I got it on the top there. And this is my picture.
How does that feel for you to look at a college diploma on the wall?
I'm so proud because it is not only me, even my family, my kids. They're so proud because they said it's not easy, you know, to raise five kids, to work night, and go to school and get an associate degree.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That was a lot of work.
Definitely.
And you're hoping to become certified as a nurse?
What I did, and then even though I try, I went to the class. I did. I got everything, all my books. I started, no problem. But, you know, from September to October, end of October, I get sick because it was too hard for me. Sometimes I even forget about food and stuff like this to study because you need to get a lot of reading to do.
So do you feel you sort of overdid it?
Exactly, definitely, yes.
Did you tell me you got pneumonia?
Exactly. And then I went to the hospital. I explained to them my problems. And then when I explained to them, they said, when you work like this, you work too hard. You don't have time to get rest, you know, to eat properly. Your immune system go down. And then when I get back from the hospital, I failed the semester.
You failed the semester.
I fell. And then it was foundation of nursing. And I realized probably it's better if I continue with, you know, instead to get the nursing, I will go to get a bachelor from biological science. It's a long way. But anyway, I want to make it because I don't want to stay as a nursing assistant.
For low-wage workers who have children, they've got worries on multiple levels.
Dr. Nancy Cawthon of Columbia University.
They're worrying about how to get by day to day. For most of these people, I don't think that they're worrying about their career track. They're worried about how to pay their rent this month. They're worried about how to pay the food bill. They're worried about just how to get by. Another level, I think, is worrying about their children. Seeing a lack of opportunity not only for themselves but for their children and feeling badly about that as parents, not being able to give their children that chance to get ahead and do something that they weren't able to do.
So they fear that they might pass on to their children the rut that they feel stuck in.
That's right. In a country where we've set up the expectation that your children, if you work hard, then you'll be able to provide a better life for your children than you yourself have had. And I think a lot of these families don't feel like they can do that. But then on another level, and this I think can be one of the most devastating from a family point of view, is just the psychological consequences of feeling like no matter what you do, you can't better your situation. That's going to be hard for an individual, but that's also a very heavy stress for a parent to carry.
Come on, Stephen. Come and take with mommy. No, you don't have socks. You're just on your head. Come the other side. The only thing make me sad, sometimes I forget about myself, you know, working like this. The sad part in my life is my kids. The sad part in this story, working hard, working two jobs full time, you know, I try to handle it. But only thing bird, you know, give me my conscience, you know, even if I'm at work, I cannot be happy too much because I'm thinking about my kids. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because even sometimes my mother passed by, even sometimes my mother helped, you know. But it doesn't matter. Without a dad, the mother is supposed to be for the kids. But sometimes I have to stay out.
Now, we haven't really talked about the dad. Where is he now?
Right now, I know he is in some part in Florida. I don't really know because I don't really have, you know, I don't really know his address.
Why did he leave?
He lived in 2001. I think, you know, most of the part, you know, I always talk to my husband. Telling my husband we got five kids is not a game. Getting five kids, you need to be, you know, put your feet on the floor and work. But my husband wasn't be on my side.
So here you are in a situation, you have to work 56 hours a week.
Yes.
Do you feel trapped?
Yes, sometimes yes, because, you know, I cannot even sleep. I'm worried about things. I'm worried about, you know, if one day something happened to me as a single mother, what is going to be about with my kids? You see what I mean? I'm worried about what the portion I have in the house. Because if I have to feed my kids properly, the money is not enough. The money is not enough. I went to the food pantry. I got help a couple other places. I learned my kids not to see, okay, well, my friend told me, you know, I ate shrimp or lobster. Mommy, you're supposed to give it to me. I said, you accept or you learn to eat or learn to do things the way life offers you to do. With that, you don't have any problem in the future. The clothes they have to dress. Sometimes I have to go to, you know, to the place they have used clothes. You see what I mean? To buy clothes for them. But for 5 kids, the money I have, even for the 56 hours, if I said, okay, I have to go to Walmart or I have to go to Macy's or to the mall to buy clothes for them, it won't be enough.
Well, there was a book out there that was fairly popular a few years ago, They Moved My Cheese or some such title. And hey, they moved my cheese. I just haven't been able to find the new cheese.
Back in Minnesota, Jerry Messler, the security officer, also faces tough choices. He works his full 40 hours a week, but instead of taking vacation time he's earned, he skips the time off and accepts the cash instead. Occasionally, Jerry's financial straits leave him down in the dumps.
Has there ever been a time when you've had to choose between food and heat or medicine? Have you ever been pushed to that level?
Yeah, that's a 100% yes on that. I've always sat down and chose food. And I had been on antidepressants. I'm no longer on antidepressants because samples have been given to the guy that I was seeing as a shrink, and you know, I just had free meds through the psychiatrist because he knew my financial circumstances. Then his pharmaceutical companies he was dealing with changed, and it was no longer going to be eligible. And I ended up applying to 2 different companies because of the 2 different pharmaceutical companies. And one, I've never successfully got the paperwork through, and for him, I have to go back and see him again. That's, I don't know, $150 a pop. But the one med I was on was going to, at a reduced rate, was going to be $155 a month. I can't afford $155 a month, so I weaned myself off. And so, yeah, I can tell you I'm still depressed. But I take no medicine for it because I absolutely cannot afford it.
What do you do to lift your spirits if not pharmaceutical methods?
Well, I have basically 2 methods per se. I have a plant-growing light that, you know, they sell these fancy lights so that you can overcome SAD, seasonal affective disorder. I have a $10 lamp I bought from a home supply store that does the same type of a thing. And I also ride a bicycle, and that gives me some physical activity and also gets my mind off of things.
Well, those sound like pretty good remedies. Is certainly cheaper than $150 a month. Do you feel like a victim of this situation, or do you feel you've made mistakes or choices you regret that play a part in these economic conditions?
Both of those are true. I've made mistakes. If I'd have stayed with the state of Minnesota, guess what? I'd still be working. I'd still have adequate health care and so on and so forth, and I'd have a better retirement than what I'm looking forward to at this point. So in that sense, yes, I've made mistakes. But on the other hand, it was the overall economic situation that caused the university to have the layoff that it did.
Security guards, who sometimes work their shifts in isolation, must have plenty of time to ruminate on their past, to ponder what-ifs, and maybe sometimes to lament mistakes, as many of us might. Roads taken do have consequences. But how much control do we ultimately have? How much do the decisions we make define the circumstances of our lives?
You know, people talk about personal choice here.
Policy researcher Gordon Berlin in New York.
I chose not to work hard in school and ultimately to drop out. I chose to get involved in a criminal activity, etc. It's clear that people do have choices to make. At the same time, you can't dismiss these broad, sweeping labor market and economic changes that are really transforming life as we know it in the labor market.
The big picture in the United States in recent years is that millions more Americans, including a significant population of children, are now living in poverty. And just slightly up the economic ladder, an even larger share of workers feel insecure in the face of health care and tuition costs that seem to soar without limit. America has entered a new chapter.
I guess the best way to think about it is to go all the way back to the post-World War II period, believe it or not. Between 1947 and 1973, average earnings and wages grew by about 60%. It was as if everybody in the United States was on an up escalator.
Even for the poor populations?
Mostly for the poor populations. Income inequality was narrowing during this period, because, again, a disproportionate share of economic growth and productivity enhancements were going to workers, and especially workers at the low end. So by 1973, the average high school dropout could support a family of three above the poverty line. Then suddenly, it was as if that up escalator came to a grinding halt. It was a difficult time for the economy. But then in the 1980s, we got a lot of economic growth, and we had a lot of jobs created. But there was no earnings growth, and that was the first time that that had happened. And right up until today, average earnings are actually 15 or 20% lower than they were in 1973.
In the 1990s, when many sectors of the American economy roared again, all boats began to rise, and even people at the lower echelons did somewhat better. But now the working poor are losing ground again. Free trade relationships and the worldwide digital revolution make it easy for big U.S. corporations to hire cheaper labor overseas. And yet people who work in service jobs that have to be performed here, like cleaners and nursing aides and security guards, are still squeezed very hard. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudenberg. Studio recording by Steve Colby. Editorial assistance from Thomas Royal, webmaster Brian K. Johnson. Special thanks to Tony Buck, Mike Larracy, Ellen Lawton, and Kathy Graham. Our program is presented by